the One-Off Technology Podcast with your host, Roy Richardson. Each week we cover topics in the news and how they affect you. Sit back, relax, and open your mind.
This is a One-Off Technology Podcast, and I'm your host, Roy Richardson, known in some circles as a tech troublemaker. And tonight is a very special episode. Tonight's episode, we're going to talk about augmented reality, virtual reality travel. We're going to talk about Apple and their desire to basically scan through your images to make sure you don't have any child pornography. And then we'll talk a little bit about Google's new Titan security key. It's going to be a real short thing about that, because the big topic tonight I want to talk about is virtual reality travel. So you may have heard of VR, virtual reality. So basically it is a computer simulation of a three-dimensional world. And then you have augmented reality. So maybe you're familiar with like Pokemon Go, or if you've ever used Google Lens, which I highly recommend using. Google Lens is really cool. You can point at a sign that's written in a language you don't know, and it will translate it into your native language. So let's say, for example, it's a stop sign. This is Alto. When you point the camera at it, it will translate it to say stop. It's really amazing, and I do recommend downloading Google Lens. That's a fun app. It works on Android and iOS, so cool things. And then you have mixed reality. So mixed reality is a combination of a virtual world and the real world using computer imagery. And when you combine all of this together, then they come up with this thing called extended reality, which extended reality you would think would be ER, but no, it's actually XR for extended reality. I guess ER, they don't want to sound like emergency room. So augmented reality, AR, VR, MR for mixed reality, and then XR for extended reality. So the point I want to make is that while we were in COVID and lockdown and pandemic, we couldn't go anywhere. And so tech companies started thinking, you know, what if we made a way for people to travel virtually? What if we made a way for people to be able to go places and travel the world? Let's say, for example, you want to see the pyramids in Egypt or the Great Wall of China. And so through the use of virtual reality glasses and other techniques, they're able to make you feel like you are immersed in that world and that that's where you are. And so, yeah, it's quite amazing. And I just happen to have someone that happens to have a set of virtual reality, an Oculus Go. So a few years ago, back in 2014, Facebook paid $3 billion for Oculus. And Oculus makes 3D headsets. I want to say glasses, but they're not, because it's not like going to the movies and seeing Avatar with a little 3D glasses on. These are immersive, where you're wearing a headset that's covering your eyes and face, and you are going, as you move, the world around you moves in this virtual world. And so Facebook is working toward moving us toward what they call a metaverse. And while they haven't fully defined that yet, it's going to be a world where, kind of like, you ever heard of Second Life? So there for a while, Second Life was a two-dimensional, three-dimensional world where you create an avatar and you move that character around in that world and interacted with others. And then a lot of bad things happen, and I don't even know if Second Life still exists. But in Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook world, what's going to happen now is that you will wear VR headsets and you will interact with friends and you will go to virtual malls and you will watch movies together in an augmented reality space and you will go shopping together in a virtual reality space. And so it's going to be a crazy world. It's really cool. Let's do a demo of visiting Venice, Italy. So I happen to have my partner in crime here who's helping me out tonight. This is my son, Xander. I'm just going to tell you that, but I'm not going to tell you more than that. By the way, you need to plug up your Chromebook. All right, so he's going to now show, and hang on, I got to switch gears and present. Hey, there we go. I have to make all the weather alerts go away. Okay, all right, so this is him. He has a headset on, and we are streaming from his phone. And Xander, let's go to Venice. And you may not hear the audio. If you don't, I apologize about that. Actually, I can put this near the mic, and you may hear some of it. Where are we going to go? So, We're going to do the walking tour. Which is that? Pick one. Huh? We go to the cafe. So here. Every notification in the world is now coming up. Okay, so let's see if I can refine this view here.
I'm sitting in Quadri, and across is Florian, which was opened in 1720, being at the oldest cafe in Italy. And behind me is Lavenna from 1750.
So as he looks around in this virtual world, it shows him whatever theoretically is right in front of him.
Describing a rectangle around the piazza. These are the procuracies of St. Mark.
And I notice there's a lot of lag between the app and the device. Come on, let's cooperate.
Keepers really of the gold reserves of Venice, because they kept the treasury of the basilica. They also took responsibility.
So the phone has decided to go a little crazy. Yes, let's go back into the app, please. So you're not seeing it very well because the pass-through stopped. It was showing it gloriously and so beautifully, and now the pass-through has just decided to not work. But the point is that through this technology, and I get back on camera here. So the point is through this technology, you can go anywhere in the world. And we're going to reach a world in a time where we may not be able to go certain places. Or we may have, this may be the only way we can visit remote places because of, you know, for one thing that we're getting fussed at as we've been so excited to go back into the real world now that COVID has kind of gotten manageable. And so we're actually over touring places. And so it's getting, you know, where places are getting damaged because too many tourists, too much trash, too much traffic, places that haven't seen so much traffic before. It's causing long waits and that type of thing. So here we are going through this virtual world. And imagine that we can go to the Great Wall of China, which is a place that it may be difficult to go to at times, just being a communist country and all. I would love to be able to go to China and visit the Great Wall. Or it may be that we get to the point where maybe the virus ramps back up again, and this is how we have to travel. But the cool thing is, as he's looking around, he's going to all these different places inside there, you know. And is this cool or what? And this technology is still in progress. And so it's not fully ready yet. I really hate that you can't see it exactly as is on the screen itself. Now, that's a little bit better. It's kind of strange how certain things are just not coming through. I've got pass-through turned on again, but it's just not doing a very good job right now. But the cool thing is when you take a tour like this, you can have a tour guide who can tell you so many things about attractions that you may not have ever thought about before. I would love to take a virtual tour and go to the Louvre in France. I think that would be amazing. And then love to go to, you know, Tokyo, Japan and tour around there without even leaving my home. And so through virtual reality and augmented reality and mixed reality, or as they're calling it now, extended reality, these things are going to make it possible in the future for us to take tours all over the world. So this is just kind of the beginning of this whole process, and the technology is going to be involved with that. Anyway, thank you so much for helping. We're gonna let him off the hook and let him go back to his world. Boy, howdy, the phone does not want to play well with others. Let us, I want to try something real. Nope, it didn't want to show me that, so. All right. I'm going to stop casting now. Alright, and there we go. So, that was virtual reality and going on a tour and a trip. And so, fun times there. Now you're untethered. We had some power problems. We had to get creative and run a really long power cord in order to power it up. It didn't want to charge very quickly. So, anyway, the point being is that through virtual reality and augmented reality, mixed reality, we may be able to go to places that we never dreamed of going without a passport and without worrying about whatever the latest pandemic is. And so those are going to be amazing times. I'm very sorry that it didn't come out a lot clearer, because that would have been really cool. Next, I want to talk about Apple wants to scan your phone and scan your pictures. So, basically, Apple wants to be able to use their artificial intelligence to match up photos from our devices with a database that contains, unfortunately, child pornography. And on the surface, I'm, you know, very thrilled about this, because this is something that absolutely must stop. There's tons of other things like this that would be really great if technology could find fixes for it. But privacy advocates are kind of freaking out because it says it's an overstepping on the part of Apple. And then the other security experts are telling us, well, this is really good. Totally agree what you're trying to accomplish. But the downside is that, hey, what if hackers get a hold of this technology and can scan through your phone for anything, totally invade your privacy? We have a habit of taking pictures of things that we probably shouldn't take pictures of, like, for example, our credit card, our driver's license, our passport. This is personally identifiable information that in our phones, if hackers were to get a hold to it, could potentially be used against us. But that's not why I'm against this. In fact, I'm not really against this. I like what they're trying to accomplish. But how, when you have Apple, which is always saying, hey, we're the privacy phone, we make the world safe because we protect your privacy, how can you ride this thin line between protecting my privacy and going through the data on my phone looking for something? And who's going to stop this from authorities from doing an overreach and saying, well, now we're looking for stolen cars, so we want to make sure that so-and-so didn't take a picture of a car that's stolen, and we're going to go use Apple's technology to do that. It's so hard. You want to do the right thing. And what Apple wants to do sounds very much like the right thing. How do you do the right thing and yet not compromise personal freedoms? Now, people that are doing this sort of stuff that this would be scanning for deserve to be punished to the full extent of the law. We need to protect our kids, whatever it takes. But at the same time, we've got to be careful about how much privacy and how much freedom we give up. And so it's really kind of a hard road to kind of figure out what the right path is here. So quite challenging. Now, so I guess we'll see what happens. There's actually people writing a petition against Apple right now to try to stop this from happening. So I guess we'll have to see what's going to happen there. Hey, by the way, my name is Roy Richardson. I'm the tech troublemaker. Nothing is working quite right tonight, so let's find out. None of that's working. Good times. I was going to tell you, if you want to be social with me, I am on Facebook and Twitter as TechTroubleMKR. Again, Twitter wouldn't sell me the rest of the vowels, and so I had to go with a shorter name. So TechTroubleMKR. You find me on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you so much to the people who have reached out to me through those platforms. I really appreciate that. Eventually, I may start streaming my videos live directly to those channels. Next adventures in technology. Just want to tell you, if you do like this channel, the kind of content I'm doing, please like and subscribe. I love comments. Please leave a comment. I like so much. Oh, it's going to work tonight. Cool. Yep. Leave a comment. Ask a question. I will respond back to you. I really do appreciate people that leave comments and ask questions. I usually try to reach out directly to them or answer inside YouTube chat. Or, you know, sometimes it gives me ideas for an episode. So, like, if you have an idea for an episode you'd like to see me do, a topic you'd like me to talk about, feel free to post it and let me know. Or send me a DM via Twitter or Facebook. Let me know, hey, why don't you do this? I'm like, that's a good idea. I can't come up with all the ideas by myself. You know, I'm not that smart. Next, I want to talk about Google. So, in the past, I've talked about security and two-factor authentication, which commonly two-factor authentication is you log into a website and then it sends you a code to your phone via text messaging. Or maybe you have the Google Authenticator app or Microsoft Authenticator or Authenticator Plus, which is an app that I'm a big fan of. And so I type in the six digits? I think it's more than that. 6-digit code that corresponds to my password for that moment, and I get logged in. And this is a great way to be secure. But there's always concerns about man-in-the-middle attacks, where basically somebody has compromised or spoofed your SIM card on your phone, and they are able to basically compromise your phone enough to get that text message that contains that code. And so, yeah, that's kind of scary. Now, at least with Google Authenticator, which is running on your phone, as long as your phone hasn't been compromised, otherwise they're not getting hold of that code. But beyond that is Google's Titan key, which I've shown you. It's a USB dongle that plugs into your device, and when you log into Gmail and other Google sites, it goes against that hardware key to prove that you're you. So now, this week, Google has come out with a USB-C version that also has an NFT chip. So, for example, I can take my phone and touch it against the Google Titan key, and it will do the code for me and get me into my phone, or get me into the app that I'm logging into on my phone. And so this is great because, hey, good stuff. And so things you can do for security. Not on sale. It is for sale, but you know the thing is, it never seems to be on sale. Let's get a surprise and see what they're charging this week for it. Don't you hate when you can't find things you want as fast as you want them? I want to find it now. Why not? Here we go. All right. So let's do some sharing. Ta-da! Here's my screen. Okay, so this is a Titan security key. If you look at my YouTube channel, I have a video where I talk about how to set the Google Titan security key with your Gmail. And you'll notice now, they now have a USB-C one. So for the world that has gone to USB-C, I'll tell you a funny story. So I used to have all these Android phones in my house, and they were all using the standard micro USB B adapter. And the mini B, and suddenly tonight I couldn't find any cables like that. All I could find was USB-C or Apple Lightning cables. And so I'm like, I need one right now. So luckily my wife found one. She's awesome. She knows where everything is. I don't know how. She has a library in her head. She's cataloged the whole house. I'm pretty sure of it. But anyway, so using this Google key, now if all your devices like mine have gone USB-C, you can plug it in there. Granted, on an iPhone, what you have to use is the NFT, near field technology. So basically you take your iPhone, and kind of like when you do Apple Pay in the store, you would tap on the Google Titan key, and it would say, oh yeah, I recognize that device, and it will let you in. So if you're security paranoid like I am, I highly recommend looking at something like this, especially if you're using it for financial data and that type of thing. Gotta think about it. If you're doing like Bitcoin, maybe this is the way to go. Maybe this is the way to go. All right, that's it for tonight. It's gonna be a short episode. But I just wanted to come see you guys and talk to you, and just thank you so much for coming and hanging out with me. Wow, this is the 22nd episode of my podcast as well. And so here's a live edition of the One-Off Technology Podcast, which is available on all podcasting platforms out there in existence in the world. Let's see if, be sure to hit that subscribe button. And if you want to subscribe to my channel here, be sure to ring the bell if you want to get notified when I have a new video out. Anyway, and that's a wrap. Thank you so much again for coming by. I hope you enjoyed the show. And again, the One-Off Technology Podcast. Bye!
This is the One-Off Technology Podcast with your host, Roy Richardson. Each week we cover topics in the news and how they affect you. Sit back, relax, and open your mind.
By the way, this is what the Oculus Go looks like. Whoa, I'm dangerous now. Yay! Too bad this isn't casting.